ashamed of the gospel, this good news about salvation through Messiah Jesus, because this message and this message alone is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jewish people and then to the Gentiles. Well, shalom to the WLQV Faith Talk 1500 audience. This is Rabbi Loren coming to you live by Skype from the studios of Congregation Shema Yisrael, along with my co-host Rabbi Glenn coming live over the telephone with another edition of Jesus Made Me Kosher. And shalom, Rabbi Glenn.
Shalom, Rabbi Loren, and it is good to be alive, and this is really a great day, isn't it?
It is a great day. This evening, in just a few hours, the very significant biblical holiday of Pesach, Passover, begins. And Rabbi Glenn, today is also what is called Good Friday on the Christian calendar. And this is when Messianic Jews and kosher-hearted Gentiles remember one of the greatest events in history, the death of the Jewish Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, Emmanuel, God with us. And Rabbi Glenn, Good Friday took place on Passover, in fulfillment of Passover.
I think people too often are so steeped in religious tradition that we don't recognize just the amazing connectedness between these two things. Messiah Yeshua died on Passover, and people might wonder, how is that good? Well, it's good because his death brought the atonement for all of mankind, whoever will believe. So it truly is a very good day. And Rabbi Loren, you and I believe that that really happened, and that it needed to happen in order to meet our greatest need. Our greatest need wasn't to solve the unequal distribution of wealth or to solve poverty or declining academic performance or even the threat of terrorism. Our greatest need was salvation from the very real and ruinous forces of Satan, sin, and death.
And Rabbi Glenn, that's exactly what the Son of God did for us on the cross on Good Friday on that Passover some 2,000 years ago. But let's give the background why. Why did Emmanuel, God with us, the Messiah, have to die? Well, here's why. From the moment that Adam and Eve, who were very real people, our first parents, from the moment Adam and Eve sinned against our wonderful Creator God, they, in essence, joined the great rebellion of the fallen angels. And instantly, when they rebelled against God, everything changed. Their sin affected every aspect of their nature, their body, their soul, their will, their mind, their spirit, their relationship to God, all became corrupted.
It's true. You know, instead of drawing closer to God, Adam and Eve now ran away from him. That sin went to their very core. They became alienated from the one who's the source of life and goodness and blessing. And in that moment, we're also excluded from heaven, also a very real place, and from eternal life. And so sin affected not only every aspect of life here in this world, but without God intervening in our lives, it would eternally separate us from him in the world to come.
Exactly. As a result of their sin and their alienation from their creator, Adam and Eve were exiled from the beautiful Garden of Eden, and they were forbidden to eat from the tree of life. And so in their rebellious, fallen state, they and now all of their descendants, and that's you and I and everyone else who's alive, we are by nature headed not towards life, but towards death. The first death, which is physical death, and the second death, which is Gehenna, hell, the lake of fire, which is also a very real place. And so, Rabbi Glenn, if slavery to Satan, who's a real fallen angel, who's powerful and dominates humanity, if slavery to Satan and the forces of sin and death are our greatest problem, our greatest need is to be reconciled to our Creator, to be freed from Satan, sin, and death, to have our sins forgiven, to find atonement, to be restored to life.
And Rabbi Loren, only the God of Israel, the three-in-one God of Israel, can do that, can forgive sin, and can restore life, to bring the dead to life, physically and spiritually. But in order to receive these gifts, we have to come to him on his terms. You know, we live in a very relativistic age, but we can't just insist on being reconciled to God on our own terms. Well, you know, okay, I'll do it if I'm happy with it. You know, our terms are not going to work, and part of the reason for that is our fallen and sinful condition has corrupted even our thinking so that we are not rightly understanding just how alienated we are and just what it takes. You know, to receive atonement and to be restored to life, Rabbi Lawrence, it's not enough for people to say, well, I'm sorry. nor is it enough to just say, well, you know what, I'm going to live a better life. I'm going to stop drinking. I'm going to stop cheating. I'm going to be more honest. You know, the quality of our lives can never be good enough because it's not measured against other human beings. It's against the standard of the infinitely pure and holy God. So it's not enough to try to be a good person. It's not enough to follow a man-made religious system. But, you know, thankfully, the Lord God was gracious and made clear the way.
He did. And the word of the Lord is clear that genuine faith in the one true living God, becoming loyal to the three-in-one God, and the shedding of blood that God has provided, that and that alone, Rabbi Glenn, brings atonement, forgiveness, reconciliation to God, restoration to life.
Well, you know, a lot of Jewish people think that, oh, that whole thing with blood and sacrifice and atonement, that's such a Christian thing. But it finds its root in the Torah, doesn't it, Rabbi Lauren?
It does. You know, it's a Torah principle, Rabbi Glenn. One of my favorite verses in the Word of God is found in Vayikra, in Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. And it says that the life of the flesh is in the blood. And the Lord says that I have given the blood to you so that you could put it on the altar and make atonement for your souls, because it's the blood, by reason of the life that it makes possible, that makes atonement. So, Rabbi Glenn, words are not enough for atonement. Repentance even is not enough for atonement. Saying you're sorry is not enough. Trying to reform your life is not enough. Without the shedding of blood, there is no atonement possible. Leviticus 17, verse 11.
And, of course, this goes all the way back to the beginning when Adam and Eve rebelled against God and their natures became corrupted and sin entered into the world. Suddenly they looked at each other, and though they had been naked all along, it had not brought any shame. Now suddenly they're corrupted and their nakedness is a source of embarrassment. They sewed together, Genesis tells us, fig leaves in order to cover themselves. So now they had covering. But what happened? That might have done the trick in terms of their embarrassment at one another. But then it says that they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the Lord among the trees of the garden. They were suddenly ashamed, and that shame was more than skin deep, excuse the pun, because now as soon as God came on the scene, those fig leaf coverings were completely inadequate. They still had guilt within them. And so what happened? Moses tells us that God made garments of skin for the man and his wife to clothe them. Well, Rabbi Lauren, where did he get those garments of skin from? They came from two animals that most likely had to be sacrificed in order to provide those skins for Adam and Eve. And so right from the very get-go, they had to watch, on account of their rebellion, their sin, they had to watch two innocent animals die, to watch the life go out of their eyes. There had never been a death before in the Garden of Eden. Now, suddenly, there is a death of innocent ones in order to make a covering, you might say a kapora, for them. And so really, from the very beginning, covenants always needed blood. And of course, Messiah's blood has ushered in the new covenant, has the greatest power of all.
Exactly, Rabbi Glenn. God is teaching us from the very beginning that, you know, words are not enough, apologies are not enough, good deeds are not enough. We need the shedding of blood. And you mentioned the first sacrifice in the Garden of Eden. Although you said there were, you know, two animals that were shed. I'm not sure why two, because, you know, the Torah doesn't give a number. Maybe it was, you know, four. But that's a minor point.
Yeah, true. We don't know. However many it took to make garments of skin for the man and his wife, I figured in one animal for each. But we're not told. But the principle was that it required blood. And so Adam and Eve, right there at the beginning in the Garden of Eden, learned the hard way that the wages of sin is death. But mercifully, it did not require their death. God allowed a substitute.
Exactly. So again, we see this shedding of blood principle, Leviticus 17, Genesis 3, the first sacrifices, which sets the pattern of what God is going to do in history. And then, Rabbi Glenn, covenants, really important relationships and contracts, weren't just signed in writing or with a, you know, two hands that were shaken. They included the blood of sacrifice. And it's all leading, Rabbi Glenn, to today, to Good Friday, to Passover, to Messiah, our Passover lamb, dying and shedding his blood.
And he, you know, is like those animals. He was innocent. No human being could ever make that claim from the very beginning. No human being after the fall of mankind could be considered innocent. All of us come into this world with a default condition of sin, and yet Messiah himself, born of the Virgin, born of God, sinless, lived his life perfectly, fulfilled every demand of the Torah, the law, and so that his death truly could be effective in remedying this sin problem and giving us atonement. And because he wasn't just a man, Rabbi Loren, because he is God the Son, that atonement has infinite capacity for the forgiveness of sin.
Baruch Hashem, praise the Lord. You know, Rabbi Glenn, according to the Torah, the five books of Moses, atonement was possible, but it was complicated even for God's chosen people. If a Jewish person sinned, first they had to go to the temple in Jerusalem, and they had to travel there, and it could be, you know, hours or even days away. Then that Jewish person had to find a Kohen, a Jewish priest, a descendant of Aaron. Then a bull, a goat, a lamb, a ram, a dove had to be killed. And then the priest had to sprinkle the blood of the sacrifice on the bronze altar in the outer courtyard. Part of the animal's body was then burned. Then if the sacrifice was done by one who had genuine faith, the sacrifice and the shedding of blood brought a measure of atonement, a temporary kind of atonement, but not full and final atonement.
Yes, and under the Sinai covenant, with, you know, its constantly repeated sacrifices by the priests, there was no ultimate and final forgiveness for sin. As you said, it was only temporary covering. You know, Aaron and all the priests that descended from him stood before that bronze altar and repeated those sacrifices day after day, Shabbat after Shabbat, month after month, holiday after holiday, year after year, and this went on for century after century. But those continually repeated sacrifices could never fully atone for our sins. As the writer of Hebrews, the letter to the Messianic Jews, says, otherwise it would only needed to have been done once.
Exactly. If those sacrifices could completely atone for our sins, they would have stopped. They would have done the job. But Israel couldn't stop the sacrifices. The Jewish people could never say, it is finished, like Messiah said on Good Friday some 2,000 years ago.
That's powerful, Rabbi Loren. Those three words make all the difference in this world and in eternity.
Rabbi Glenn, from the time of Moses when the sacrifices began until 70 AD, when the sacrifices stopped, when the second temple was destroyed, there was a continual shedding of the blood of bulls and goats and lambs and rams and pigeons, day after day, Shabbat after Shabbat, month after month, Passover after Passover, holiday after holiday, year after year, century after century. Millions upon millions of animals were slaughtered and their bodies burned and literally, you know, rivers of blood were spilled that could never permanently take away our sins. I once calculated the number of animals at a minimum that was killed from the time of Moses around 1500 BC until 70 AD. And Rabbi Glenn, the total is astounding. I calculate that at least 171,000 bulls, 48,000 goats, 55,000 rams, and listen to this, Rabbi Glenn, the number of lambs, especially Passover lambs, 300 million lambs were sacrificed during that time to partially cover the sins of the Jewish people.
That's astounding. And you obviously had to do a lot more math than I had to do to get two animals in the Garden of Eden. But we don't want to lose sight of the point here. That is a lot of blood. Well, why couldn't the blood of bulls, goats, lambs, and rams and pigeons fully take away our sins? Well, precisely because animals are lower on the scale of being. On the scale of being, the eternal creator is the most valuable, followed by man, created in his image, then animals, and then plants, and then followed by inorganic things. Therefore, one man, one human being, is more valuable than all the animals in the world. Now, I know our friends at PETA don't want to hear that, but, you know, all the animals in the world could not fully atone for even one human being, Rabbi Lauren.
True, Rabbi Glenn, but that was okay because God had a better plan, a better way of atonement. The Sinai covenant and the Levitical priests and the temple in Jerusalem and the bulls, the goats, the lambs, the rams, the pigeons that were sacrificed were only temporary measures designed to enable God to temporarily cover over our sins until a better solution would come that would provide full atonement, grant us complete forgiveness from all of our sins, forever reconcile us to God, and bring us eternal life. And the sacrifice offered by Yeshua, the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, on Passover, on Good Friday, is that ultimate and final sacrifice.
And you know, it's so much better than all of the animals, not only because of the qualitative superiority of Yeshua the Messiah, but because his was a willing, voluntary sacrifice. The animals didn't say, sure, go ahead, slaughter me, I got no problem with it. It wasn't voluntary. The animals were killed against their wills to obtain that blood. But Yeshua died willingly and voluntarily. The one who was perfect and needed no sacrifice for himself was willing to give his life that we might live and live with him and with his Father and with each other forever. I mean, that, you know, a mutual friend of ours, Abdu, talks about the ultimate ethic is love, the ultimate expression of love is sacrifice, and the ultimate person being the Lord. So that sacrifice on what we now call Good Friday, which was Passover, was the ultimate expression of love. The Passover sacrifice of Yeshua on Good Friday is so much better because he became one of us. He became a man. God, he left his glory in heaven from all eternity. Yeshua, the Son of God, God the Son, the second person of the Trinity, became a man. He took humanity, but he was a perfect and sinless man. He was always pleasing to his Father. But as a man, he is our equal. It's a complement with an L-E-M-E-N-T, complementary to us. He is our equal in that sense. Therefore, he can be our goel, our kinsman redeemer. So as a man, he was able to help man, but he's so much more than that, isn't he, Rabbi Lawrence?
He is. He's not only a man who is equal to humanity and can identify with humanity, but he's also Emmanuel, God with us, and therefore infinitely superior to us. And as one who is fully God and fully man, he's at the very top of this scale of being. He's of infinite worth, and therefore his one sacrifice that he offered on Good Friday, on Passover, is of infinite worth and atoning value.
So the Good Friday Passover sacrifice of the one who is fully God and fully man is infinitely more valuable than all the millions of animals ever slaughtered. His sacrifice possesses absolute perfection and never-ceasing effectiveness precisely because he is Lord and God. His sacrifice is eternally powerful, sufficient for all human beings across all time and across all this world. His sacrifice accomplished infinite redemption, perfect and full and final and eternal atonement. And of course, Rabbi Lauren, that is why we can call even this sad and tragic event something good, because of what was accomplished. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, thinking nothing of the shame, and now has risen from the dead and sat down at the right hand of God. It really is Good Friday.
You're right, Rabbi Glenn. And again, our greatest need is not the redistribution of wealth. It's not to fight poverty. It's not declining academic performance. It's not war or terrorism. Our greatest need is salvation from the real and ruinous forces of Satan, sin, and death. And the one who is fully God and fully man, the one who is Emmanuel, God with us, willingly, lovingly made that sacrifice that only he could do to reconcile us to God so that we can find full and perfect atonement, come back to life the way we need to live, and live forever with the three-in-one God. How fantastic is that?
It's just so wonderful. And, you know, those of you listening to Jesus Made Me Kosher today, and we imagine some of you who listen aren't yet committed to following Jesus as the Messiah. We want to urge you, Rabbi and Lauren, and I want to urge you to do this today. Let this Passover be the time when you made your exodus out of death and out of the Egypts of this world and go through that Red Sea. We encourage you to come to faith, to trust in Messiah, Yeshua, his atonement. Follow him by being immersed. He instructed us to be immersed. It's like going through the Red Sea, and you come out on the other side. You are a free person, never to be enslaved again. We would urge you to do that. Make that commitment to follow Messiah Yeshua, and then tell someone about it. Give us a call at Shema or email us. Let us know, you know, I've been listening, and I have made that decision. I'm going to follow Messiah Yeshua, Jesus, for the rest of my life.
And Rabbi Glenn, the Faith Talk 1500 audience, Messianic Jews and kosher hearted Gentiles who already know the Lord, we want to challenge them to share this message of final atonement with others, Jew and Gentile, to the Jew first, but also to everyone else, boldly, courageously, in spite of anyone's reaction. We want to make that proclamation of the good news about Good Friday and that Passover 2,000 years ago, a central part of our life's work and mission, to bring this news to a world that is dying, whose greatest need is to have their sins forgiven and be restored to life.
So well said, Rabbi Lauren. And this is not simply faith in a man who died for us. It's faith in the Son of God who came to earth and gave his life for us and then rose from the dead. It's Good Friday. But I tell you what, Sunday is coming. He rose from the dead. God put his seal of approval on Jesus the Messiah by raising him from the dead. So this is a living faith, folks. This is a victorious message. This is truly good news, enduring good news, because Messiah lives.
Amen. Rabbi Glenn, we want to invite people to join us tomorrow at 10:30 for our Passover Shabbat service at the facilities of Bloomfield Hills Baptist Church. Everyone is welcome. You can go to the Shema website at shema.com for more information. And consider sending a Passover card to a Jewish friend or neighbor or coworker, telling them that Yeshua is this Passover lamb who died willingly to take away the sins of the world. And this is a Jewish message, and this is a message for them.
Absolutely. So we welcome you to join us tomorrow morning, and do visit our website. There's just a whole lot there at shema.com, S-H-E-M-A.com. And, you know, you'll find some of Rabbi Lauren's articles there about atonement, and it'll just really help to deepen your faith. And then, again, we do want to urge you to share this good news with those around you. And those of you who have Jewish friends in the neighborhood or at work, Passover is a perfect time to engage in a spiritual discussion. Ask your Jewish friends friends. Hey, what's your family doing Jesus for Passover?
Jesus Made Me Kosher is sponsored by Congregation Shema Yisrael, a community of Messianic Jews and kosher-hearted Gentiles who serve the three-in-one God of Israel. You can find us on the web at shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com. If you'd like more information or have questions, you can also reach us by phone at 248-593-5150. That's 248-593-5150. To hear how Jesus can make you kosher, join us every weekday at 3:30 right here on Faith Talk 1500.